It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Friday, a beautiful Friday in America's Music City. We're live in the Gulch at the pub. Come by and see us today. All of our shows will be here all day long. It's right at the corner of 11th and Pine. You can't miss it. They got St. Paddy's Day stuff going on all weekend long starting today, and obviously the SEC tournament in town just up the road at Bridgestone Arena. What's up, girls? JoJo?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, yesterday was an amazing day of basketball at the arena. The late game last night, Kentucky winning on a buzzer beater, the double overtime game, Texas winning. It was a fun day of basketball in our city.
And did you stay for both?
Yeah, I went to the Kentucky game last night. I had never seen Kentucky play on a neutral court. I've seen them play at Vandy and at Rupp. Yeah. And it was just the oohs and ahs from Kentucky fans and Oklahoma would not just go away. It was amazing last night. So Kentucky wins at the buzzer. Great game. And now they move on. And now we got another great day of basketball today, brother.
The only dud yesterday, if you even want to call it that, sorry, Dr. Crane, was Missouri beating Mississippi State 85-73. But before that, Ole Miss and Arkansas was in a battle. Ole Miss sends John Calipari home early.
Yep.
With Arkansas. They win 83-80. And then, as you mentioned, Texas A&M. Not only was it a fun double overtime game, but it was two historic rivals in Texas A&M that were playing. And it was funny. I was, after work, went into my favorite establishment, was with a buddy who's a huge Texas fan. And I don't think he realized they were playing. He knew they were supposed to play, but he didn't realize who they were playing.
Right.
And, like, that moment that he looked up and it was Texas A&M, it was, like, this whole different demeanor, you know. So it was pretty cool to watch that game. So Texas wins 94-89, and then, as you mentioned, Kentucky over Oklahoma last night, 85-84. So the blue mist remains one day, at least one more day.
Well, back to the Texas game, it's crazy. After they won, you go into the press room and press hall. All anybody talked about – this was hilarious. All anybody talked about was, do you think Matthew McConaughey is going to show up today or Friday? I mean, that was the all over. And people asked – I'm like, I don't – because I had the pass on. I'm like, I have no idea. Need to ask him. That's all they wanted to know. Will Matthew McConaughey
that's a great question.
Show up today, because they've made it to the quarterfinals now. And I think that they're interesting to watch, man, because they they're kind of fun in a way, because they know they're not expected to be in this position, and now they're rolling. And they took down Vandy, took down A&M, and now they'll take on the Tennessee Vols today.
The Vols finally play. So the Orange Army or Navy, Orange Navy, I guess is what they would refer to themselves, will be here. But I think it's been a fun tournament so far. Speaking of also fun wins in double overtime, the Blue Raiders, MTSU, getting the win over, what do you call them?
Louisiana Tech?
Yes. So last night, like, I was keeping up with it, and I'm getting in bed. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch the end of this game. And then I realized, like, oh, man, they're double OT. Like, I'm definitely going to watch the end of this game. So it was on ESPN Plus. I somehow synced up the video perfectly with Chip Walters on 93.3. So I listened to Chip.
Oh, cool.
While watching the game, which made it awesome. Chip's going to join us at 10:30. I'm usually not one of these people. The officiating was terrible. I mean, they made some calls. I'm going, there was one that, you know, block or charge. It was, in my mind, a charge. And they didn't call it that. They called it on middle.
Right.
And it was just like, then they called a jump ball. That wasn't a jump ball at all. The other, like, middle clearly had possession. Should have been a foul. And they called it a jump ball. Other dude for Louisiana Tech never even touched the damn ball.
Well.
And so it was just one of those. And, like, I could hear Chip, you know, tried to be professional as he usually is. And, like, what are we calling here? But middle gets the win and moves on, stays alive in the Conference USA tournament, so that was big. We'll talk to Chip at 10:30.
Could you? And this is funny, because this is my recent story I wrote for Main Street Media about being a referee. After sitting on press row and hearing the comments, I would last one possession.
Oh yeah, no.
I would be in the stands. It's the fan. I mean, the coach is going to berate you anyway. But the some of these things they're yelling at the referees would make Red Fox blush. I mean, it was awful. Could you think you could do it? I mean, you $2,500 a game, high school game, $2,500.
I mean, I could do it, but I would. I mean, I'd tease somebody up.
You'd have to. I don't think we could.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's the thing. When you're on the floor like that, you're watching the refs and how quick things happen. I'd go to the review every time.
Yeah.
And just because it's there and you could do that. But some of those calls yesterday were like – but it's been that way for a long time. It's like these guys are so big and so fast and so athletic where the refs really aren't, and you're trying to figure all that stuff out. I don't know, man, but – it's frustrating to a certain extent. You talked about the Miller game last night. There were some frustrating calls yesterday. Mississippi State got some bad calls yesterday, too, as well. And I'm thinking, man, what's the resolution here? You don't know. You just go out and play and
well,
win
the game. And the other thing, too, is you have to – I don't know this, but you have to assume that, you know, there's – like the best refs are probably here in Nashville.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe – guys with a little less experience or what have you or, you know, at the Conference USA tournament. And so you have to factor that in. And, look, you got to get your experience somewhere. I mean, I'm not faulting them. But,
right.
I mean, you would think that, you know, the Power Four conferences are figuring out how to get the better officials.
Right.
And pull them from some of these, you know, group of five.
So if you were to do basketball, football, or baseball to be an official referee and umpire, which sport would you do?
It's a great question. Well, I'm fat and slow, so basketball's out.
All right.
too much running there. Football's out, too, so probably. But I mean, it probably would be baseball.
Okay. I'd go football because it's you don't really hear the fans as much, and you're designated an area.
Yeah.
So baseball, no, because I can't – I don't like baseball anyway. But the fact that – you know, some punk yelling at me like that, I'd be, no, you're out of the game. I would toss people out left
and
right.
But see, and that art's gone. Like, it used to be, like, I loved, you know, Bobby Cox, Lou Piniella, you know, those were two of the best. Billy Martin, even before that, you know, go out there and just get it, like, just hands on their hips, just giving it to the ump, and, like, the ump's sitting there, and, like, he's mouthing back, and then finally you just see, and it's all an act, like, that ump just goes, you're out of here. And then Bobby would take the hat, throw the hat down.
Yeah, right?
You know, like, to just keep going because it's just like – remember that commercial they did with it was Lou Piniella and I forget who – it may have been Jim Joyce. It was one of the umps that you would know. And they're, like, screaming at each other, but they're saying, like, hey, all right, I need to motivate my team, so I need you to throw me out. Cool. What are you doing for dinner later? All right, yeah, let's go do it.
I do remember that, yeah. There was a Braves manager in the 80s named Chuck Tanner who managed the Pirates of the World Series in 79, but he was like that. When the Braves were playing terrible, and there was many nights they were playing terrible, he'd go out and just argue, and they'd toss him out, and the Braves get fired up and everything. But there was a respect, like Earl Weaver, Whitey Herzog, you know, Billy Martin, these old referees and managers and umpires would get into it with each other. And it was fun, you know, watching all that stuff now. But now it's gotten so personal that
I
was like, nah. The one thing I would not be – in a sport, I would not be a back judge in the NFL. I'm not calling because I wouldn't call pass interference.
Yeah, I know. You've kind of said that.
I let guys fight with each other and go for the ball on that. But anyway, watching the refs, God bless them, man, in the SC tournament because up and down the court and those guys are so big and get yelled at and you're on the national stage. And I know it's been that way for a while, but yeah, that's don't ask me to do that.
So here's what we got today at the SEC tournament. Ole Miss will take on Auburn coming up at noon. And then at 2:30 today, UT versus UT, Tennessee and Texas.
You're going to get Tex now. Watch
probably.
Out.
You know,
Tennessee's the real UT.
I know.
Established
first. I know. I just like stirring the pot a little bit. So Tennessee will take on Texas at 2:30. And then the night session, Missouri and Florida. And then 8:30, the late game again, Kentucky and Alabama. You taught me that, so
yeah,
I had to do that.
Tennessee
is a 10.5 point favorite against Texas, by the way.
Texas
looks pretty good.
Don't
bet
on tournaments like this. Don't, because Texas is playing really well. And I don't want you losing your money.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
You're
Thank
welcome,
you for your
pal.
Concern. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. We are live today from the pub in the Gulch. Excited to be here. St. Patrick's Day, of course, coming up on Monday. The pub, Nashville, is the place to be. Kick things off with a special St. Patrick's Day brunch at 9 o'clock, followed by live entertainment all day and the best Irish drinks and bites in town. Also, they have some Guinness specials today. Enjoy all the pub's awesome food, including Irish fare like corned beef and cabbage. That might be my lunch today. Drink specials include $7 Guinness, Harp, Magners, and Smithwick's Drafts, and a lot more as well. So come by and see us. We're here again through our show. DVD will be here and Stillman and Company as well. So come by and say hello. Coming up next, Titans made a signing yesterday that once again is starting to point me in a specific direction, and there's another national media member that's picking up on that as well.
Uh-oh.
We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, live today from the pub in the Gulch, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tennessee went out and handed a big contract to Dan Moore. They also gave a one-year, $9 million deal to Kevin Zeitler. So to grab two offensive linemen like that is curious. Yeah, you could use some help there. And yeah, it might be to protect Will Levis. I just don't think that's the direction they're going. From what I understand, I think Cam Ward impressed him in Indianapolis at the Combine. I've heard that they've had conversations since. I think the team is smitten with Cam Ward. I think they want to get their quarterback in. They've got the number one overall pick. Levis was there last year, and I know there's a lot of discussion about the idea of giving Levis another chance, and, you know, the team wasn't really set up all that well for him. He was terrible. Young head coach entering year two. I think the move is Ward. Planting the flag. Tennessee stays at number one. It's not Abdul Carter. It's Cam Ward, quarterback Miami.
That was Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN yesterday talking about the Titans and the number one overall pick. He is planting the flag, as he said. Cam Ward, number one overall to the Titans. Chase and Big Joe live today at the pub in the Gulch. We're here all day long. For St. Patrick's Day and the SEC tournament, of course, being in town. And all of our SEC basketball coverage is presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by Guinness, TheNewCumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle and ATV. So Charles Robinson was on yesterday with Robbie and Rex Road. He's in the camp of Cam Ward, number one overall to the Titans. Now Joe Fortenbaugh is as well. The Titans also yesterday signed quarterback Brandon Allen to come in and be a backup. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean, you know, what does that mean moving forward for Will Levis? But, you know, I think bringing in a true actual backup, he's not coming in to compete for the starting job.
Right.
I mean, that either means they're going to run it back with Levis, which they'll get run out of town for, or Ward's coming here number one overall. You got a veteran in Allen that's in, and then – kind of figure out where Levis fits in later.
All right, so let's go with Joe Rexroad, what he said this morning, which I think Joe made a great point about this, is that the fact that if you're going to get Cam Ward and you're going to start, and like Joe used the word partnership, you have to run this with Callahan for a while.
Yep, I agree with that.
You've got to run this. If you go 3-14, but you've got Cam Ward, so what do you do? You fire Callahan after this year, bring in a whole new team, whole new staff, and then go it. You have to keep Callahan. If not, they should have fired him in January, brought their own coach in, then you're going to develop that way. Now Brinker and Borghazzi, you are stuck with Callahan now, because if you fire him after this year, then bring in a whole new staff, you're resetting, you're back to square one. So I think your chips are on the table now, and go forward and do this. You should have let Callahan go in January and said, hey, thank you, it's been fine. We're going to go this way, because they've known Cam Ward for a while, and now they're stuck there. So when they go 3-14, which I think they will this year, because I think it's a terrible football team, don't fire him, because you'll start back again.
I'm hearing you. I agree with you on that.
Yep.
I mean, I think that if you're dead set on bringing in a young quarterback and you want to develop him, and look, I do think Brian Callahan can develop a young quarterback, then you have to stick to your guns on that. You can't just bail out because you want to go get your guy. Now, I understand, you know, that happened with Wisenhunt. You know, Wisenhunt came in. He was, you know, 1 year with Locker, and then they draft Mariota, and he basically got half a season with him. But the difference there is they stuck with Mularkey, and a big reason why they stuck with Mularkey was how he worked with Mariota and the familiarity with Mariota there.
Yeah, so we had 3 years with that staff, 15, 16, and 17, with Mularkey basically halfway through 15. So it was fine, and they got to a playoff. They won a playoff game. Marcus did show flashes of doing some good things. He was good in that Kansas City game. Anyway, that's a long time ago, and you move on. But now you got it. If Cam Ward's your guy, and you're solidifying the offensive line, all for it. But I'm telling you, Cam Ward starting game one. Who's this guy they signed, Brandon Allen?
Yeah.
He's not your starting quarterback.
No, he's
Will Levis is not your starting quarterback. Cam Ward is your guy, and Brandon Allen needs to know that going in. It's like, all right, Cam's a guy. You'll be here. If something happens, you'll go in there. But I still think Callahan is way over his head. I think he's a terrible play caller. I don't think he – I mean, as a head coach and offensive coordinator, I think it's so much that you have to do that you're not ready for, and I don't think he was ready for that. And I don't know what the solution is. I mean, I know he's still going to call plays, but do you delegate more? I don't think he's the guy for the job, and it proved last year that I was correct on that. But now you're stuck with him. Now you're stuck with him, and you got to deal with it if they draft Cam Ward going forward.
I am interested, just because of this show, to see how this pans out, because I think I'm a little more pro Callahan. You're not.
Nope.
And I'm curious of who's going to be right. In the long
run. Oh, I'm right. I know I'm right. I know he's not head coach material. I saw it last year, and I don't think you grow into that. I think you know immediately whether you are, whether you aren't. I don't think he's a guy. I think the not giving up the play calling duties is something to me. And he's like, oh, that's part of the game I like. Well, then go be offensive coordinator somewhere, because you never called plays until you became a head coach. Sure. Does that not blow your mind? He never called plays. He was a head coach.
It doesn't blow my mind, because that's kind of today's NFL. Like, there are other examples of that. You know, I mean, Sean McVay never called plays.
Sean McVay is a much better coach than Callahan.
100%. But, yeah. I mean, to your point of he never called plays until he became head coach.
Okay. I mean, some guys can do it, some
Zach
guys can't.
Zach Taylor never called plays until he became head coach.
Callahan can't do it. I'm just telling you, I don't think he's a guy that can do the head – I was proven last year. That proved correct last year. He can't manage the game, call plays, deal with what's going on, and do all that. You just can't do that.
Now, to your point, Matt LaFleur never called plays until he came here. He called plays for a year as the offensive coordinator here before he became the head coach of the Packers, and that year was probably a really good thing for him.
Who did he have at the Packers at quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers.
There we go. All right. Who does Callahan have when he came here?
Will Levis.
Right. I mean, that's simple.
I think.
Oh, we got a Lions fan. I like that sweatshirt,
two of
buddy.
Them. Yeah, that is a nice one.
Yeah, right.
Very good. I think we have seen, though, like with LaFleur, that maybe he's a little bit better of a head coach than we thought because of what he's done with Jordan Love.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think he deserves his credit.
I agree. And look, the year calling plays, he has a year under his belt calling plays in 16 games. Callahan never had. Had that. You know, we had Nick Holes on, right?
Yeah.
Is it Holes or Holtz?
Holtz.
Okay. And then we asked him and said, what's your job?
Yeah.
I give suggestions. All right? Chase, I give you suggestions all the time.
Sure.
You use maybe 0.0001% of those, right? Give suggestions. So you're not what you are as an offensive coordinator. So I don't know. Did he do that in Cincinnati? Did he do that in Vegas? Did he do that in Detroit? Did he do that in Denver? I don't know, but I don't know. All those, you got Cam Ward going forward, and that's your guy, and that's you got to deal with. That's a lot of wood right there.
Yes, it is.
I'm ADHD.
You are. That's okay.
Yeah.
Again, we're live at the pub in the Gulch today. Let's go to the phones, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Trey wants to weigh in. Trey, what's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Oh, we're good.
Hey, I just – my friend just posted on Facebook that he's going to Indianapolis to bury his war, and I wonder why the Titans don't pick up players that have Super Bowl experience or playoff experience, and why are they getting these players that's not as good as those other type of players with experience. And what y'all think about that, guys? I'm kind of going crazy over here with this. Thank y'all. Have a good day.
Sure. You too, Trey.
Thank you. Thank you. Do you see what he signed for in Indianapolis? He got a pretty good deal up there. Titans already committed to two cornerbacks here.
Yeah.
In Snead and Cheeto. And so there's a lot of money.
Both of them have played in Super Bowls. Snead's won one.
Yeah. But there's a lot of money. So, yeah, Ward's a great player, and he's an MTSU guy. I get that. But they've already spent all that money. They're not going to spend all that more money on a guy that will come in when they've got two guys, hopefully, that see the field this year can do well.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I've said this. If those corners play, you know, McCreary kind of continues his development. And, you know, I'm worried about the middle because they've signed Barden, but they traded, you know, Kenneth Murray, who's the green dot. They got to shore up the middle there.
Who's the guy from Carolina they drafted? Eric Gray, was that
his
name?
Yeah, Gray, yeah. So we'll see what he's got. And then get a pass rush. Then, you know, all of a sudden you're feeling better about the defense.
But there's
a lot of what-ifs there.
What's the guy from the Broncos or the Niners, the guy they signed for 1 year, $10 million deal, the pass rusher?
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Crane?
That guy.
That guy.
I know who you're talking
about. So there's some foundational pieces that are there that could go forward. And, you know,
Draymond Jones.
There we go. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. And so, you know, and you got the safety that they signed from Carolina, and you got Hooker, and you got if Snead and Cheeto could come back and play. I mean, you've got some good pieces that are there. Again, and I know you're going to roll your eyes, people, but all you got to do is be better than three other teams. That's it. That's all you got to do is be better than those three other teams. You get to the playoffs.
Let's get one more call before we get to Sean Henry. Darren has changed his mind on the Titans' number one pick. Welcome in, Darren.
Hey, guys. Good morning. When we got the first overall pick and I was looking at the prospects, I was pretty sold on Abdul Carter because he seemed like the more surefire impact immediately. But then I was thinking, you know, I looked at the Browns, and the Browns of Myles Garrett's probably the best pass rusher of my generation. And what did that really do for the Browns? I mean, it was awesome to watch, but it didn't really translate to the franchise being really any better with or without him. So I think the right call, considering what we've done with the O-line in the last 5 days, I think their hand's been tipped, and I'm all on board with Cam. So I appreciate you guys taking my call, and I'll listen up, man. Thanks, guys.
Thanks Darren.
Buddy.
Appreciate
Darren,
it.
Darren, appreciate you, man.
I think you're kind of – everybody's kind of starting to talk themselves into it.
Right.
Yep. Of like,
hey, what's happening, y'all? Like,
hey,
all right now.
Hey, how you doing?
Wow.
I think that people are starting to talk themselves into it. That
are you?
Cam Ward's – yeah. I'm starting to.
Well, I think John McClain had a good point the other day, and we talked about how Cam went from Incarnate Word to Washington State. Is that where he went?
Yeah, Wazoo and then Miami.
Miami, and said the exposure he got from being from those three places and going into new places and having to deal with new teammates, new coaches, is really good for a guy. Then he went to Miami and played his butt off. And, yeah, I mean, if they're sold on him, and obviously they are, I mean, that's the way to go. Now, what happens if they sign Aaron Rodgers today?
Which they're not going to do, but then
I hate when you're negative.
The
like
whole
this.
Plan. Well, I'm just being. You, I'm, look, you do this with me. I just think that then they would probably take Carter.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Yeah, they're not. I know they're not going to sign Rodgers, but Cam's got to be your guy, and you got to be committed, and then you build around him.
You got to be absolutely sure.
God, there's so much pressure on that number one pick. I don't know if I'd ever want that number one pick.
There's pressure on us because the CEO is coming up next.
Yeah.
Our buddy Sean
Henry. He looked handsome yesterday.
From the Nashville Predators, who has had some fun at the SEC tournament this week. He will join us coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, live from the pub in the Gulch today. This is our home today and with all of our shows. SEC tournament just up the road at Bridgestone Arena. Also, St. Patrick's Day weekend. They got a lot going on here. But we say hello now to the CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, who's on the line with us, who has had a blast this week with the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament at Bridgestone Arena. Sean, what's up?
Hey, Bruce. Coach Pearl, I'll be right there. Yeah, Jack, I just kept you waiting all morning. Yeah, yeah. I'm coming. Tell Commissioner Sankey it's 10 feet for the hoop. Yep, I'm coming. Hey, oh, I'm sorry, Chase, you there?
Yeah, we're here. Is your back hurt from all those names you're dropping, or how you feeling?
Dude, man, 9:30, fellas. I don't have time to be waiting around for you guys. I mean, Joe and I were there until 11:30 last night, man.
We were.
What the heck?
You saw some good games last night.
Dude, the basketball has been amazing. And really, with the exception of the LSU game, every game has been down to the last minute. It's been awesome.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? You know how this is with sports, where there was so much hype with this tournament. You know, probably more so in some ways in the NCAA tournament because the SEC is so good that you always go into these situations hoping that it lives up to it. It has more than lived up to it to this point. It's only going to get better now that you have teams like Tennessee and Auburn and Alabama. They're all going to be playing. And you know, I actually have the top teams that'll get into the mix now. I think it's been great so far.
It really has been. And, you know, you look at the selection show will be Sunday from our plaza. And you're going to hear, gosh, what do you think, 13 teams from the SEC named? It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and I did want to touch on that. How cool is that? ESPN's bringing the selection show to the plaza at Bridgestone Arena. Obviously, a lot of eyes on the SEC. I think it makes sense. Plus, it's just another way for Nashville to let the rest of the world know, hey, we're here.
Yeah, it's always good when we get put a little spotlight on Nashville and let the rest of the world just to see how cool things are. And it's so much fun. The collaboration to take on an event like this between the city and the state and the CVC and the Sports Council, obviously ourselves, it's just so much fun. I mean, the downtown partnership is out every morning at 5 a.m. cleaning up the streets. And it's fun to see the city just come together to put on great events.
Talking to Sean Henry this morning, personal assistant to Greg Sankey, joining us on the Chase and Big Joe show. It's funny, you know, Sean, we are privy, you know, to backstage and things that go on and all the chaos back there. And you never take it for granted. But to watch everybody, you know, for more or less do their job to make this tournament go off and be perfect, I find it fascinating to watch. You're in the middle of all that. There are so many moving pieces. You got to be proud of your staff.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, it's always a little bit humbling when you see it come together because it's a building transformation. And then you're literally open for, I don't know, 14 hours a day. And it's like, you know, literally thousands of people doing their job, but doing it better than anyone else in the country. And I could say that, you know, I've hosted the SEC tournament, ACC tournament, and other buildings, other cities, and it's always great. But here it's just a little bit more special, and it is because of the people, without a doubt.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a guy last night in Press Row about hosting a first-round tournament or the SEC tournament. And I was like, give me this tournament every year, all year, because now with the games on Wednesday and full slate Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I mean, Sean, this is an amazing tournament, an amazing time for this city.
Well, if you see Greg Sankey, you should thank him. Because when we first did the deal where we did 12 straight SECs, it was unprecedented. Like, that never happened. And then when he extended that through 2035, it's just amazing. And the funny thing is, I love John Glennon, and so I'm going to call him out. When we announced the 2035 run for SEC, his article said, Nashville Predators will not host the NCAA first and second round ever again. I'm like, good. Like, we're hosting something so much better. You know, instead of 2 days of basketball, you have 5 days of basketball. You have 3 days of double sessions. I mean, the SEC tournament is so much better than hosting the first and second round. In reality, it's better than the Final Four, you know, because, again, only 2 days of basketball. Now, I can't wait to host both in the same year when the new stadium's open. But, we're fortunate that Greg saw the vision of what we could do together if he gave it a permanent home. And we're just grateful for it.
Yeah, I tried to talk to him about that. He's like, hey, man, I'm in the bathroom. And so I had to leave. So I'll catch him later.
Well, you know, we had security go in the restroom after you, but you were pretty slippery and got away. So please don't do that again today.
Well, when security, it goes by the name of Bill Wicked, I know I'm pretty safe.
Well, he had his man, George Plaster, helping him yesterday. So
he did, right?
Hold on a second.
Sean Henry is with the CEO of the Nashville Predators. So speaking of, the Predators back in action tonight as they continue the West Coast swing and on a little bit of a win streak. 4 in a row so far, going back to the homestand and now to start the road streak there. But you got to feel pretty good about that off the trade deadline of watching these guys play. And it seems like they've all said it. They're having fun, too. That's really cool to see.
Yeah, it really is. It's always good to win. And, you know, a few people will say, well, I bet you wish you were losing to move up in the lottery. And say, no, you never want to lose. Not at the same time, if you end up losing a few games and you do move up a little bit, that's great. But you always want to be planting that flag around a winning culture. So whenever you put together back-to-back-to-back wins, you know, in the four-game streak, it's just good for all the young guys to see the veterans on what they're doing that night, the off day, to get ready for the next one, to try to get this thing to five games and then six games. And it is fun. It's been a lot of fun hockey this year. A little disappointing, of course, with the wins and losses. But you come to our building, and you still have a good time. And, you know, with Stamkos had two hat tricks the other night, right? Had one, they called it back, and he had to go out and get another one. If you aren't leaving the building that night laughing and smiling and high-fiving people, you're living wrong.
I agree. And I heard, you know, Barry Trotz was on with Jared on Tuesday for his normal hit, and they talked about that. And he said, look, you know, I get it. I get the position we're in. You know, obviously you're looking at the draft pick, but at the end of the day, I want guys on this team that love to win and hate to lose. And if there are guys that don't hate to lose and don't have a problem with that, then they're not going to be on this team. And I thought that was, you know, the perfect thing to say. It's the feeling that needs to be there. And so, you know, you need to go out and enjoy this, and you never know what might happen in the long run. But I thought that message from Trotsky was the perfect one.
And it's spot on, and that runs right through our locker room and through the whole organization. But look at the name drop, and you're dropping Trotz and Mr. Stillman. That's something, man. I thought I was good.
Big time on all that. Sean, I know that there's a fun week coming up that you guys don't take for granted. It's Military Week for March 17 to 23rd, and you talked about your partnership with Fort Campbell and veterans in the military. You're a friend of ours, I know that, but you guys go above and beyond for the military, and this is going to be a fun week for everyone.
Yeah, you know, it's always one of those things where, and even right now, I'm hard to find my words, because I never know how to thank them properly, and I don't think we ever can, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, when we get a chance to bring them out to some games and literally say thank you and, you know, give them a chance to have some fun, it's important. But last week, we hosted a group of women that lost their husbands under the Gary Sinise Foundation. I think we had 40 ladies out. And you know, I went and spoke to him, sort of Barry, to thank him. And you sit there and stare at them and you realize there is nothing I can say to properly thank these people for what they've sacrificed. And, you know, and it is, it's a family sacrifice. And unfortunately, you know, so many, you know, pay the ultimate price. So for us, it's just nice to be able to say thank you. And you look at all the great organizations we work with, from Wounded Warrior, you know, to the New Wings Museum up in Clarksville, to Charlie Daniels and Hazel Daniels Foundation we do with MTSU. There are just so many people trying to do more to say thank you. And we'll always fall short, but let's never stop saying thanks.
Yeah, amen. The game, three military appreciation games, March 18th, 20th, and 22nd. And this is cool. I'm just going to read this, what I've got here. Additionally, the Predators offer a variety of year-round military support programs, including the Hometown Heroes discount presented by Fox 17, which provides a 25% discount off box office prices for single-game tickets for active and retired military members and first responders. That, my friend, is outstanding.
You know what? There are so many good things that are done, though. I mean, look at Jack Daniels, what we do with the barrel tree at Christmas. We auction those off. And with the proceeds, you know, pays for servicemen and women to travel home for the holidays. I mean, it's almost every day we have an opportunity to work with an organization that tries to say thank you and you know, reward them a little bit. So it's so many wonderful organizations in our city. We're lucky, all of us.
Amen.
Sean, you guys have always, if we just said, had a great relationship with the military and with Fort Campbell specifically. But how much has your work in Clarksville with F&M Bank Arena kind of enhanced that over the last few years?
Yeah, you know, it's made it easier because from a geographical standpoint, we're closer, you know, to so many that are currently serving, you know, and the families. And it gives us an opportunity to use every one of our Austin Peay games, obviously our Blue and Gold games, you know, the Spartans play up there as well.
And it's just tremendous. You know, I'm very fortunate to be on the Wings of Liberty Museum Board that we're, building right now. We have it fully funded. But there are so many opportunities the closer you are to something to get a little bit more involved. And it is absolutely amazing what happens on that base. I mean, it is a large city where they're literally defending the world. And, again, what they sacrifice each and every day, the moment they take that pledge, it's incredible. Again, you guys know, the three of us never lost words. Whenever I start talking about the military or veterans, it's hard to properly express what we can all do a little bit more of.
Amen to that. And in one of my favorite parts of a Predators game is around the end of the second period when you guys honor somebody, you know, in the military. And there was even one where it was what wasn't even a specific person. It was having everybody stand, and I thought that was really, really cool. So well done on that.
Sean, can I come by later on and have an orange crush with you?
Dude, yeah, I'm a little embarrassed. I haven't had one yet. Normally by Friday I have a stomach ache because I'm drinking like 27 gallons.
Right.
So I'm kind of resisting the urge, and I'm going to reward myself on Sunday. I'm going to get a scoop of vanilla ice cream and an orange crush float, and then I'm just going to drown. I'm going to guzzle it off an orange mustache going into St. Patty's Day.
Well, I told you last night, I haven't had a thought about orange crush in decades. And the banner is so beautiful at Bridgestone Arena for Orange Crush because it's sponsoring the tournament that I actually went out and bought a 12-pack of Orange Crush on Wednesday because I was like, I got to have one now. So whoever's doing that, you got me. You won. I give you your props. You won.
It is so funny. Like when I ran into you last night in the media area, literally like there are five grown men in their 50s or whatever George is in the 70s. All with an orange soda in their hand, right? Like, it's just, I know what we started talking about the Denver Broncos from the 70s. Like,
yes,
it really is. It's one of those fun elements. So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, Sean, I got to tell you, you know, as a New Yorker, the fact that you're embracing Orange Crush, your Southern points have definitely gone up. So, welcome to the South, even though you've been here for like 15
years. I'm a mellow yellow guy, man. I was born a Southerner. It just took me a bit to get here. I grew up on the South Shore of Long Island. That's how Southern I am.
Love it. Sean, thanks as always. Let's continue a fun SEC tournament, and we will see you down there.
Yeah, hopefully I see you guys later today when you get out of the bougie 12 South, wherever you guys are.
You will. Don't worry. Thank you, Sean.
See you guys. See you in the bowels of the building. Bye.
Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators. We're in the Gulch.
Right.
It's a little bougie over here, but
oh,
it's not bad.
I mean, this is really
your Corvette's
nice.
Parked out front.
Right, it's a 2023 Corvette.
Yeah,
that's so
nice.
It's right out front there. And so this is kind of like, I just texted a friend. It's kind of like, it's what Rodeo Drive would be in California.
Yeah.
Fancy, you know, I don't belong here, A. Secondly, fancy stores, beautiful people walking by, and we're at the pub in the Gulch where we are tipping off. There's St. Patty's Day weekend.
We sure are. Why wait for St. Patrick's Day? The party starts early right here at the pub, Nashville. You can enjoy proper shenanigans. We do that all the time.
All
weekend long with Irish fare, drink specials, and live entertainment, including Irish step dancers, bagpipes, and more. Don't miss the fun. Joe's going to play the bagpipe later, so we look forward to that.
I am. Can somebody on the text line do me a favor? And I like the interaction. The Irish step dancers don't move their arms. And I've heard four or five different reasons why they don't move their arms, but can somebody text in and tell me why Irish step dancers don't move their arms?
We'll see if we can get that answer next as we wrap up. Hour number one, Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Tune in tonight. 94.9 The Fan, Vandy Baseball. The SEC play opening up as they take on Auburn. Pre-game at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Chase and Big Joe live at the pub in the Gulch today. Come by and say hello. DVD will be here. Stillman & Company will be here as well. So you can come say hi before, you know, the storms come through. Sean Marks on the side of the road waving at everybody. So that's we appreciate that. Smiling.
He is. All right, so Irish dancers traditionally keep their arms stiff by their sides, emphasize the intricate footwork, and maintain a dignified, upright posture. Somebody said they do this because dancing was banned, and when soldiers would walk by their windows, they'd be dancing, but their arms wouldn't be moving. That's just weird.
Yeah.
But that's not incorrect. That's not correct.
Okay.
So there we go then.
All right.
You ever type in Google, like, so I typed in, why don't Irish, and I get it'll do it for you. And it came, I was going to type in, why don't Irish dancers move their arms? And it came out when I typed in, why don't Irish? And it says, why don't Irish people tan? I guess people were Googling that all the time.
The Titans have made a few more signings official, including Draymond Jones, Brandon Allen. They have just announced those and made those two signings official. So they continue in free agency. The Brandon Allen one, you know, look, he's a backup. That's it. He's going to compete with Will Levis to be the backup.
One-year deal?
One-year deal.
Say how much?
That's somewhere. Let's see if Jimmy has it. I don't know. I'd have to look.
What's funny is when Shaq left after LSU his junior year, and they said, why are you going to go to the pros? Stay another year at LSU. Shaq had the famous line, well, when IBM offers me a 5-year, $50 million contract, after I graduate, I'll stay. It always made me laugh. So I'm asking because, you know, what's this guy making? You know, $5 million as a backup? I mean, it's just good for them.
If I had the ability, I would have been fine being, you know, a backup quarterback.
Right.
But
you're handsome, though.
Thank you. We'll see if I can find that. How much money it is.
It's all good, man.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver. Get his thoughts on free agency and everything that the Titans have done this week. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.